Good morning. We have a request today. Let's see. Could you speak about making the transition from thinking, I am speaking to others, but I am really speaking to myself? I think we'll call this one today, title it Myself is Others, the recognition of oneness. And the first thing to recognize is that you're not what the mind is saying. The mind is telling you there's others. The mind is not telling you true. And you're not who you still might believe that you are, that separate idea, seeking oneness. So we are not the body, we are not the mind, we are not the character, we are not the stories. We are witness to, or we are aware of, but we are not that. Every appearance that we call human being is the very presence of consciousness formed. And that consciousness, formed or unformed, is energy. So we can no longer have a God with a long white beard up in the sky reaching out to touch Adam's finger. The concept, I think, is long past for all of us. So everything is energy. Excuse me. Everything is energy. Consciousness is energy. What is energy. And that energy appears as form. It appears as the vessel, which we call body. It appears as every form. And in this recognition that this energy, this God, this presence is all, it is in that seeing that we recognize oneness. It's simply put, okay, if you have but one, there can never be another. You have one presence, one energy, one substratum. Call whatever we're choosing to call it God. You have one. And issuing forth out of that one field of energy through mind projection, we have what we call the world. We have what we call objects. Okay. We even have what we call characters. Now, the characters are just stories and imagination. It's like we're all writing our own novel. But the imagination is about separation. And in the stories, we hold a belief. Now, a belief is not truth. It's just something we believe in or do not believe in. but we believe in the appearances. Now, the appearances are always going to come back to you as a separateness. The appearances through mind are always going to look like separateness, because it is within the field of the mind's unknowing that we come to a conclusion of separation. The mind cannot know oneness. The mind seems to require at least two in order to have opinions, have preferences, and have ideas. So when you step back, you say, okay, that's what I seem to be seeing. That's what it seems to appear to be, but what is really there? Now, that question you cannot give to the mind, because the mind does not know. It will attempt. It will say, well, air or space, or, oh, God feels all space, so God must be there. But it cannot specifically give you a definition of knowing who you are. That answer will only come from within the silence within you. And that's where we always go to discover it. So we call that period where we are believing in separation and the illusion, we call that a hypnosis. Okay. Now, this hypnosis only takes place in mind. It doesn't take place out there. Like Joel says, I could be hypnotized into believing there's a white poodle going across the stage, but everyone sitting there would never see that white poodle. That hypnotic idea is alone within my mind. It is not out there. So we have that same hypnosis that when we look out there, mind says separation. Mind makes the conclusion that if there's objects with blankness between them, then there has to be separation. Like if there's bodies with blank between them, they must be separate. We all have different opinions, different ideas, different whatever. So the mind concludes separation. Now, that's not to say that this hypnosis that takes place in the mind as water on the desert, that illusion cannot seem real, because it does. When mind is in charge and we're looking outward, okay, we do have that sense of seeing separation. But if the hypnosis is only in the mind, then also the dehypnotizing is going to take place there as well. Okay. And we often call that through our spiritual practices. So oneness isn't something that we are looking to attain. We don't even need to understand it. There is, because understanding is of the mind, and the mind cannot understand what we are or what you are. So the hypnosis takes place there. So then likewise, the reverse of that is going to take place in mind as well. Okay, we're all there. All right. So in that state of hypnosis, all of the labels that we attach to every form is of the story that we are dreaming. If I say he's a good fellow, that's a label, that's part of my story. My opinion of this form over here is a good fellow. But over there, I might say, oh, he's a real pickle. No. That is my label for that form over there, because that's my opinion in mind of what I'm seeing or what I think I know about that one. Okay. So we perpetuate this dream of separation, again, through the labeling, because we are somewhat hypnotizing ourselves or reinforcing that hypnosis every time we look outward, see that space, and move back into a feeling of separation or a sense of separation. So we perpetuate that concept. We perpetuate it. Sometimes then we'll say, well, my mind is so strong, I can't get away from it. No, your mind isn't strong unless you say it is. But the story it is meant that we die to this character. That is your only death. And we die to the story. And we die to the ego beliefs of being separate, of living on a planet with billions and billions of others. That's the hypnosis. That's the story. That's the dream. That is the non-reality of what is. I think it's easy to see that in order to see the world as it truly is, we have to give up the stories. We have to stop the mind when it goes out on its separation journey, okay? When it goes walking into separation, to take that breath and bring mind back to the heart. Bring it back to center. So the only death that we are ever meant to know or to go through is the dream of believing stories of separation. We call it dying to the mind. See? Now, as you go along in your practices, you, consciousness, will become quite lucid that what is being seen, what the mind is saying, and these dream characters and the dream stories and the stories about others, you become very aware that that is not the truth. That is not the reality. Yes, it looks like it. It feels like it. I've been living like this for the last 70 years, and it seems very, very real. But somewhere in my heart, it's not. You need to make that step. You need to make that devotion. So that is what's going on and being done as you practice the spiritual practices. And through that, you're recognizing more and more who and what you are. And it is you that is beyond the forms. You are the energy out from which these forms become visible. That there's one energy, infinite energy, infinite vibration. There's many names we give it. Okay. And it is through this practicing, through this time spent in silence and quietude of just being still, not engaging thinking, not trying to get rid of thoughts you don't like, not trying to make anything change, not trying to attain anything or get anything or become anything. That's not stillness. That's not silence. But in your practice, to just sit without the engaging. And you will see so quickly. That none of it has ever been truth. Okay, so one thing we must remember, and this is why we say there's no attaining, there's no becoming, there's no, because to remember that the word oneness is but a word. And behind every word is an individual concept. You can have a conversation going and you recognize the words that each is saying, but you are not aware of the definition that each one holds in with the words that they are saying. Their words are concept. Even as you speak, you are relaying concepts. Truth cannot be spoken. It cannot be written. And it cannot be found in the mind. So, remember that oneness is but a word, and therefore it must be a concept. But we use that word in an attempt to point to something beyond the concept that it is stating, to what is already there, to what is truly there. This is why you cannot attain oneness, cannot become oneness. You cannot attain becoming God, because the words that are being spoken are concepts. And if I were to say the word, even God, there's many dictionaries out there, many scriptures out there, and we all probably have a different definition of what that means, although we're using the very same word in speaking. In the appearances, if you do not give them to mind, if you do not give the appearances to mind, you will see clearly. You will recognize what's there. You will realize what's there. It is the moment we turn it over to mind that the words begin. Adjectives, opinions, ideas, specific thoughts. You can look upon, I don't know, anything, an ant, a spider, a snake, anything formed. You can look upon it, and if you do not give that appearance to the mind, you will see what is truly there. It is like looking in the mirror. If you do not give that reflection to the mind, you will recognize what is truly there. It is in this recognition that you are aware of oneness. Do not give it to the mind. So, and then another thing to remember, and is to realize that consciousness or God consciousness or pure awareness or the one self, okay, that's what is here. And it seemingly is playing all the parts. It's playing the parts of women, it's playing the parts of men, it's playing the parts of children, and flora and fauna, and waters and skies and suns and rain. It is playing it all. There is your oneness. And in that seeing, in seeing that clearly, we begin to realize the energy, the God, the consciousness is everything, including the forms we call bodies. Now, this is not something the mind can handle. And again, it is because the mind does not know you. The mind does not know awareness or God or the one self. Okay? The mind will hold to the beliefs of separation until you, consciousness, until you, consciousness, keep bringing that mind back to the source every time it begins its journey of separation. It is within the mind that there is a belief of separation. So it is the mind that we need to lovingly return to the source. And we do that by the recognition that it is playing the game of separation and deciding we don't want to play that game anymore. And when it does tempt us or try to go out and begin its monologue of duality and separation, that we stop it in its tracks, we take that breath and just let it settle into the silence. And it's at that point that you've brought the mind to stillness. And when you have done it often enough, okay, and it could only take a day or two or less, when you've brought the mind to stillness often enough, it does not go outward into the sense of separation anymore. So while you're going through your practice, the mind is going to bring up those ideas of separation. It's going to say, like, now, wait a minute, you know, they can't be in oneness, you know, that's a cup and that's a bottle. They're separate things. They are different shapes or forms, but they still all have the same source. So the question about being able to make a distinction about being the others, that thought, that idea of making a distinction that there are others, and how do I make the distinction that there aren't others? It's like being on a seesaw. Okay. You drop the desire to make any distinction whatsoever. Okay. Okay. Now, we do not attempt to see others as the one. Don't even try. Don't even give that to mind to try to see another as the presence of God. The mind ain't going to do it. Okay. You have to continuously take this away from mind. It is not mind's job to recognize there are no others. That is for you to realize. And we do not realize spiritual truths with the mind. Okay. So we do not attempt to see others as the one. It's like we do not try to see the water as wet. Okay? We do not try to feel the warm sun. We do not try to feel a breeze. Okay? We are aware of all of that. We are aware, but we are not trying to discern if the water is wet. We're not trying to make a distinction between water and wet. It just is. And that mind does not comprehend. It wants a story. It wants a schedule. It wants the steps to realization. It wants to know how to do it and when to do it and what time do I meditate so that I can have this distinction between the water and wet. So do not allow mind to play with your oneness. Okay. It will lead you down the wrong path every time until you bring this thing back to source. Okay. So we are aware, we are even aware that mind is playing. Because so many of you now recognize that, you take your deep breath and you bring it back to source. So it's through that spiritual practice that we discover the reality that there is only presence. In infinite variety. But still, it is only presence. And that is all that is here. You cannot have even a concept of oneness and have it include 2 or 3 or 8 billion. So not even the concept of oneness would hold that. Can you imagine? Go beyond the concept of oneness, and there is your recognition. Okay. So the simplest answer, I think it was just spoken. The simplest answer is going back to the first things we come to on a spiritual journey. God is one. God is one. I don't know how to make it more simple than that or more clear than that, even though they're words. But if God is one, so we come back to that and also as well as not paying attention to the thoughts that are saying, I'm speaking to someone. I'm speaking to the clerk. I'm speaking to my brother. I'm speaking to the pastor. I'm speaking to a stranger at the store. I'm speaking. I'm talking with. I'm conversing with, I'm having a conversation with. The only conversation you can have is with yourself. Now, if that is taken in and through practices, the truth is consciously lived. And it is quite clear there is only that. Then the obvious is, I must be talking to myself. Because, call it I, call it God, call it one true self, call it consciousness, is all that is here. And whatever I am must be that. There is nothing else here for this existence to be. No matter the stories, no matter the appearances, no matter the beliefs. Now, you might not be able to express what you are, and that is fine. But you should be able to see clearly that speaking is just happening. And I am aware of an appearance. Speaking is happening, and I am aware of an appearance, and that appearance has the label of speaking. When you start looking at those labels and removing them from every object and from yourself, what do you think you will find? And again, it is not by the mind that you will come into realization of spiritual things. No, won't happen. But through the resting and resting where you are, which is beyond time and beyond concepts, now, ultimately, there is no one here to have the realization of being everything. Okay? There is no one here to have the understanding of being the presence. It just is. And again, mind has a difficult time with it. Just is. When you recognize, I just am, that's it. I'm not a this or a that or that or a this. I'm not good, I'm not bad, I'm not lovely, I'm not ugly, I'm not tall, I'm not short. Just am. No labels, no concepts, no trying to make grandiose statements. I am God. I am consciousness. No, those are all concepts. Let them go. I just am. So watch mind about the happenings, about the it just is. Okay. So I hope that helped to answer the question. So, do you have any comments? Let us be still and let the silence pray. Amen. Om Namaste.